In eighth grade, I remember reading a very small little book by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. And it was his reflection of having been a prisoner at Auschwitz. And it was his reflection on who survived and who didn't survive. And he found, by the way, I don't want to make light of this, especially when I'm talking about the Holocaust, but I started thinking about this when I saw everyone grabbing for toilet paper on the television. Because what he found was that those folks who were interested in their own survival, those who were everything else, they just put everybody else out of the way, and they were just going to go for their own survival, they were the ones that died. And those who reached out, who understood that our humanity is something more than just our own survival, they were the ones, even sometimes among the most weak, physically weak, they were the ones that end up surviving. So I kind of warn us when we look out here at what's happening with the coronavirus. If all of a sudden we're just interested on getting our stuff, making sure that we have our toilet paper. Again, I'm not comparing this to the Holocaust, okay? We're not going there, okay? But it is a symptom of something that is seated in us. That hardness of heart. We have that psalm, beautiful psalm today. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That actually is a psalm that the church prays every single day. It's the invitatory psalm. If any of you ever pray the Liturgy of the Hours, morning prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, which is praying with the church through the whole book of Psalms, every morning it begins with this psalm. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And it was something that Jesus had an allergy to. If you read through the scriptures, what's the thing that makes him mad? What's the thing that makes him upset? It's hardness of heart. He can deal with any sin. He can be his love and mercy. But see, hardness of heart shuts everything out. It's all focused inward. We talked about during this season of Lent, our homilies are about this parish becoming a school of prayer. And when we talk about being a school of prayer, it's another way of saying it's a school of encounter with Jesus. Because if our relationship with the Lord is just a head trip, it's just I believe, if it's just certain practices that we do certain things, and it's not an encounter with the living Lord, it's insufficient. I love this gospel, and I know I was supposed to read the short version today, which is what they had there. That was why the whole page-turning thing. But as I was reflecting on it, it says, I want to talk on all the sections that they're skipping in the short section. So you got the long version today. Why are the apostles scandalized that he's talking to a woman? And it's not just that he's talking to a woman. And I know you've heard also that theory, which may be true, that she was going to the well at an off hour, which means that she was probably a woman of loose morals. And the other wooden women would not gather because you normally went to the well in the morning. And we actually find out that she's had five husbands and she's living with somebody who's not her husband now. But why are they scandalized? They don't know that. It's because when you went to the well, it was a place where you met people that you were interested in getting married with. You know, on my parents' day, the way you met people is you went on blind dates, right? That was how, and if I talk to certain people who are like 50 years married, the amount of people who met on blind dates is really extraordinary. As I'm preparing people for marriage right now, the amount of people that meet on the internet, which is today's version of a blind date, is extraordinary. In Jesus' day, where people met is they met at a well. It's a place of encounter. It's a place where we meet our bride. Jesus, in looking and to bring the woman back to faith, is an understanding that we are in a nuptial relationship with God. We're in this relationship that he calls to a deep encounter. Now, how do we do that? We're not at a well. We're not doing a blind date with Jesus. We're not going on an internet search for Jesus. But how do we encounter Christ? It is in our prayer. It is that place that he meets us and he invites us because he knows everything about us. It's amazing how many times in my own life, in my own prayer life, I start thinking that I'm going to hide something from Jesus when I go to prayer, and I'm not that particularly honest. And by the way, it's written into the gospel today. He even starts telling her the stuff that she's done, and she says, "I see you're a prophet. Which place shall we worship? Here in Samaria or there in Jerusalem? Avoid." Don't we do that sometimes in prayer? We don't bring our true self because we may not like our true self. We might think it's pretty ugly, and we might think that God thinks it's pretty ugly. But Jesus encounters us, knowing us through and through. I had a wonderful professor of philosophy when I was in college, Father Max Pauly. And he had a definition of friendship, which I always love. A friend is something who knows everything about you and still is your friend. Christ knows everything about us and still invites us into this deep, deep intimacy. Last time I talked about silence. That silence is a way of entering into that intimacy with God. I think as a prayer, as a community, as a prayer, we also need to pray with the church in this encounter. And I'm going to encourage you to read the Psalms. One of the ways to pray the Psalms with the church is the Liturgy of the Hours. If you have that Magnificat book that has morning prayer and evening prayer, it has certain Psalms. And that's because, remember I said at the beginning of Mass that we're not only praying for ourselves, but we're praying for those who are not here. And there are all sorts of emotions that the Psalms capture. They capture love, they capture intimacy, but they also capture doubt in God. God, why aren't you here? Why aren't you acting right now? They capture anger. They capture a desire for that ugly side of vengeance even in us. And they turn it into prayer. So one of the ways that we can, take those sides of us that we're not necessarily willing to look at, or somebody else is going through and we can be in union with them, is to pray the Psalms. So I'm encouraging you, if you've never prayed the Liturgy of the Hours. You've never prayed. By the way, it's called the Christian prayer. It's a prayer that priests and deacons make a promise to pray every single day, but it's actually called Christian prayer. It's the other liturgy of the church, and some people are saying, what are you talking about? I have never heard of this. And yet, in Vatican II, it was said that we were supposed to make this treasury of the church open to the laity. And not just open to the laity, but they understood that it was part of their prayer. So if you don't have a Liturgy of the Hours book, or you can, by the way, you can get it online, ibreviary.com, Liturgy of the Hours.com. You can read it online with the church. But you can also just open up the Psalms and start reading the Psalms. Start praying the Psalms. This is another way that we enter into the life of the church, that encounter. And start asking yourself, where am I in this psalm? Okay, maybe you're not feeling angry right now, but where in my life have I felt angry? And how is the Lord acting in my life in that particular moment? Where in my life did I feel doubt that I didn't even know that God was there? By the way, the Psalms pray that prayer. Psalm 22, which is the psalm that Jesus prayed on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? When we encounter God, we encounter our true selves. We encounter that relationship. I am going to talk about the coronavirus at the end of Mass, and I realize that some of you may think that, okay, I'm just going to get communion and I'll get out so I don't encounter anybody else right now. Can you stay at least to the announcements after Mass? Because I want to get, I do want to talk some more about the coronavirus and how the church can be a place of encounter in a very difficult time at this moment in our life. We have this great gift that God has given us in this Eucharist. We have this great gift of this nuptial feast. Don't ever think that he is not with us. He is always God with us.